Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful Black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the Black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Mahan.
Assalamu alaikum and peace be unto you. This is Ava Muhammad, and I am your host on Elevated Places. It is an incredible blessing to be able to be with you once again. Today is March the 20th, 2014, and we are moving toward the final push for that which was prophesied, which is the exodus of the former slave out of the land of the former slave master. And lo and behold, we are so blessed to hear from, to know of, and to accept Allah's choice as the divine guide in our midst today, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so, beloved, I am excited. It looks as though Allah is showing us a little mercy here in Chicago. We're hovering around 40 degrees, and the sun has been out. This morning, we had snow for about 30 minutes, and I felt like I was in a Stephen King novel, like it was back, like a monster. And I wanted to scream when I saw it. I was ready to jump in the car and drive south until I didn't see any more snowflakes. But Allah blessed us. He shortened it. I think it was just like a last note commentary from him. I can do this at any time. You know? You know. So he is constantly reminding us in this hour of his unmatched power over all things. And it is certainly a great blessing to be back on the air, because Elevated Places is the forum. It is the place to be where we have these high-level intelligent discussions, and they're centered around the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so I am once again blessed to be joined by two brilliant brothers who just make this show what it is. And one is, of course, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and the other is our beloved Elevated Places contributor and analyst, who is also our Minister of Agriculture in the Nation of Islam, and that is Dr. Rizli Muhammad. So to both of my brothers, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome back, brothers.
Alaikum salam.
All right, yes. It is wonderful to be with you all, and we are going to be joined later in the program by another brilliant mind, a brother who has become a regular on the show to the point where all we got to say is Student Minister Robert Muhammad, and the first thing everybody thinks is urban planning, city. We're getting ready to make it happen. And
that's right.
So with Brother, you, Dr. Ridgely, representing the origin of self-control, which is the ability to control your food, which means you have to have your own land, number one, all the way to transporting that food to the cities where the overwhelming majority of our people currently reside. We're hoping to make a change in that, generating interest and reintroducing especially our young people to the reality that, yes, food does come from the land, not from McDonald's. And that is that's a heavy lift, being able to penetrate that culture, that mindset that the enemy has created. And so we're going to have our brother on later. But, Brother Terrence, we're going to hear from you. Of course, you always keep us on top of what's going on. And I noticed that Elevated Places live broadcast that was at Savior's Day got a lot of coverage.
That's right.
This week in the final call. I was looking at a photo of the audience there, and it was a large audience. I mean, this program is just growing by leaps and bounds. And so I was very, very humbled and honored to see that. But, Brother Terrence, you talk to us about what's going on.
Yes, ma'am. You know, it's funny because before I got on the show, I didn't really have anything. Like, right when the show started, I just started writing down, and it amazed me that there's so much stuff that's going on across the nation. So, you know, let's first start by saying we want to thank the Final Call newspaper for putting in on the Final Call, the workshop of Elevated Place, and giving a good overview and good synopsis of our wonderful Savior's Day convention in Detroit. So just continue to look at the Final Call and see, and get the older copies and see what's going on. And you can still get the Final Call now, digital.finalcall.com. You go digital.finalcall.com. You can get some of the DVDs and products of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at store.finalcall.com. That's store.finalcall.com. And our wonderful editor of the Final Call, Brother Richard Muhammad, on April the 5th will be in Delaware. He'll be speaking at the first annual Education is the Key Conference, the time of what must be done. It's a free admission up there. So our Brother Richard is going on the road. And speaking of the time of what must be done, we're not done. We are not done. So if you thought you saw the 58 series, well, see it again. We're starting all back over. So we want to make sure that you're completing and doing it all over again, seeing the Time and What Must Be Done series by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we want to make sure that you have housewarming parties, inviting everybody over to home, have your own study circle, watch it, and have in-depth discussions on the time and what must be done, because we're not finishing. Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is definitely not finishing. Once I get some verification, I'll let you know that the minister will be on the roll again. He's not stopping. He has some stops.
No,
he may hit some colleges. He may hit some communities. You know, the minister, he cannot rest because he has a mission and he has a job. So let me run through all of the things that are going across the nation. And I say Happy New Year to everyone today, because today is the official day of spring, and I celebrate when spring comes, not in the dead of winter. But also, we have our wonderful sister Audrey Muhammad, the author and editor of Virtue Magazine, who's celebrating their 10th year, the official magazine of the Million Woman March. She will be speaking at Mosque No. 92 this Saturday for a women's only meeting at Mosque No. 92 in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's called the Rise Up Tour. A nation can rise no higher than its woman. You may want to try to find Sister Audrey and have her come to your city. And our wonderful Elevated Places contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, will also be in Greensboro, North Carolina on Sunday during a Savior's Day banquet at 6 p.m. at North Carolina A&T State University. And he will just be giving a fiery lecture. And you can come also to the mosque, 1320 Glenwood Avenue in Greensboro, North Carolina, and hear Dr. Ridgely speak that good truth in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Also, as I said, we're not done. The Twitter book 2.0 is going fast. Our brother Jesse is posting pictures of everybody and their mama getting the book. Some people are buying cases, buying 10 and 20 books. The words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his tweets, just the first volume, and they're going fast. So you want to make sure that you get your 2.0 teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in April, I think it's going to be April the 19th, our brother Jesse will be in Charlotte, North Carolina, taking it on the road. The Twitter Army is now getting ready to hit the road and cross the country, and they're going to have Twitter parties popping up everywhere. And also, I think I already made that announcement. Oh, but I did want to remind us, just give a shout-out to our sister Naira. I think it was last show that she called in and talked about why she wasn't on Twitter and how she got on Twitter. But that particular sister, she started Lemoyne College at the age of 14. She's now 19 years old. But I just want to mention that. Thank Mother, Sister Naja, and Father for the proper raising of a Muslim child, because we're still going on those college campuses, and we're going to get our young people. And we thank our brother Shahid, the math doctor, showing how we can make wonderful children at an early age. You know, as the minister said, giving birth to a God. That's why we're going to continue to push to help MUIs be all over the country, so we can raise some good children. So I know we want to jump right into the discussion, and that's all that I have across the nation for today.
All right. Well, that's a lot. Yes, sir. and as you noted, the minister is moving about again. He'll be speaking also next month. I'm going to check the date before the show is over, but he'll be speaking here in Chicago at Olive Harvey College. The administration asked him to please come and address the students. What we're all experiencing is, in this hour, our youth have just completely, as prophecy is fulfilled, they are rejecting the authority of the false god, the enemy. And in the absence of clear direction from Allah himself, and they recognize God's voice coming through the minister, outside of that, they have no respect for anything, and they right. can't be cajoled with acceptance into this society as it was back in the day. They don't want acceptance in this society, and so they have strength. All they need is direction, and there's only one source for that direction. And so, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and let me remind the callers, 347-324-5091 is the number to join us and give us and share your insight. That's 347-324-5091. It's time to get back to basics, which I know Dr. Ridgely loves. And so I've got in front of me the Muslim program tonight, and I am looking at number four.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to share that again. And remind us that we are in a war.
That's right.
Black people seem to be oblivious overall to the fact that we are in a war. And when we ask the question about defending Farrakhan, and that's what we're going to deal with tonight, if we want to defend our minister, then
that's
the
right.
way to do that is carry out the program that he has given us from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And not only will that serve as his defense, but it'll serve his defense as our salvation. We should
right.
want desperately to get up out of here.
That's
because
right.
this world is becoming increasingly degenerate, and just when you think they can't fall any lower, they do. And all of the focus is on sex and homosexuality and drugs
right.
and violence. There is so much killing, particularly white-on-white killing, that it's enough to provide inventory for nightly television programming. All these shows that come on about children killing their parents and parents killing their children, and now we're imitating them as usual. because as the minister said, as long as we live with white people, we will live under them. And so now here we come with our little TV shows, Fatal Attraction. Okay, now we've got shows on with black couples, with one killing the other for insurance money or over issues of adultery, et cetera. And so it's just time to go. It's not going to get better. He told us, he said, there are no good days coming. And we have to bear witness to that. So we are asking, and this is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that's what I want to hear from you, Dr. Risley, after this. I'm going to just read this part of number four of what the Muslims want. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. And so, Dr. Ridgely, it appears that white people didn't do that because this was 1965 when he put this out. Okay,
that's right.
So rather than provide us with the land, and certainly rather than maintain and supply, they didn't do that.
That's right.
I don't think he meant for them to wait 50 years. In
That's
fact,
right.
The treatment has gotten worse, and so now we're going to have to do this ourselves.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, America is for sale, and we should follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and take some of them ugly presidents on that paper, give it back to them, and get some land. There are all types of properties for sale, like you were talking about up there in the Detroit area, but down here is down the South. The old white people are dying out. There's so many homes out here that people could buy, mansions with acres. So it's time for us to have a vision and take the little what we have and let's put it together. Let's get together, closer. And we can just take over without taking over. In other words, America is for sale and white people are dying. So let us move together closely, either in our own areas, in our cities, or move out to the country, come down south, let's start it all over again.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I was reading again from earlier today a study that I've talked about on Elevated Places before, and I've alluded to it even on a couple of Sunday lectures. And in 2014, I'm going to keep going back to this document, An American Dilemma, The Negro Problem, and remind us that this document, which was produced in the 1940s, and financed by the Carnegie Foundation, they retained the services of a Swedish economist to study the so-called race problem. And number one, we got to look at the fact that they hired an economist because we are and always have been viewed by Caucasian people as a component of their economy. We are not in their mind in any way, shape, or form their equal. There has never been any intention on the part of these people to assimilate us into their society. And this is why our history has been the way it is, that no matter how much progress we make in one decade, we find ourselves right back in a bad position the following decade, because as the minister has taught us so clearly and supported with profound evidence, they keep coming up with new methodology to suppress us and to block us and to deprive us. And so I just can't take any more exhorting from the so-called civil rights people, the leaders, the politicians, the television journalists, the radio people, telling us to vote because we've exhausted that. Whining and crying about the public school system, whining and crying about food and about the justice system. You got a black woman in Florida, Marissa Alexander, who is facing 60 years in prison for shooting a ceiling. Now, if we were in our right mind as a people, we would shut Florida down.
That's right.
We should have done it in the Trayvon case. We should have done it in the Jordan Davis case. And we should do it with Marissa Alexander. All of these cases in the state of Florida, one of the most wicked and repressive in the United States. And for us to continue, and it just makes me want to throw a rock into the television, to watch these black intellectuals sit on television and analyze the state of mind of these murderers of our children, to analyze the state of mind of a prosecutor who cannot convict George Zimmerman, who was unable to convict the killer of Jordan Davis of his murder, and who is now charging a black woman who was the victim of an abusive husband who was in her house.
Come on.
Who was threatening her, and her objective was to get him to leave.
That's right. Mm.
And so she fires a warning shot, not at him, but at the ceiling. And this defies logic. She shouldn't even be under arrest. Now, if this so-called stand-your-ground law, there has never been a fact pattern more applicable to that law than hers. Because she was in her house, her children were there. She had a protection order against this man. He had a record of beating her and assaulting her and tearing up property. And so for us to sit by, I think any of the people on this earth would be down there en masse. And you would see Disney World void of black faces.
That's right.
Universal Studios void of black faces. SeaWorld and all of this stuff should be void of any black money, any black revenue coming into that state until they bring it in. And also in Washington, D.C., pressing our black president, our black attorney general, to go down there and do something about this. So, the voting has gotten us nowhere. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, in terms of when we get land, he said, don't bother about Florida because Allah is going to sink it. So I said, yeah, let's get out of Florida. There's sinkholes already happening in Florida. Let them have Florida and let Allah take it, and let us move up to Georgia and Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina. You know, leave Florida alone. It's going to sink anyway. So we just pull out of Florida. Allah got something for them.
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought to us what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about it, because that fits with what's being done to us. It's as though we're being sent the clearest message ever that we are not wanted there. I mean, how many of our children are they going to murder and get away with it? How many of our women are going to be locked up? This woman should be celebrated that she displayed the type of restraint that she did, that she didn't blow his head off. She should be celebrated for that. And so rather than sit by and allow this, as you said, forget boycotting. The exodus should start there.
Yep.
and let a law do what he needs to do with
That's
the
right.
state of Florida, and let that be the initiating action. A separate state or territory. There's no solution to this problem other than to get up out of there. We've got to, I'm going to open the line so that we can be joined by Brother Student Minister Robert Muhammad, and then I'm going to, we've got Brother Lewis waiting to come on, because I know what the kind of messages Brother Lewis puts out every day. He's got something powerful to say on this subject. But I first want to welcome back to Elevated Places, and we were just saying a regular guest now. We don't have to go through much because I think all of the listeners and callers know and love to hear from our brother. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Robert.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, dear sister?
Well, I am wonderful. We're having an animated discussion here about just tossing aside the nonsense, all of these intellectual discussions about the law and politics and voting and, you know, finding a prosecutor that'll put a murderer of our children in jail. And as Dr. Rizzi just reminded us, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, forget about Florida. So we need to just get on up out of there and let that be. It's a swamp anyway. And just get on up out of there and let Allah do his what he needs to do there.
Well, I just finished, had a very full day today. First and foremost, I want to thank you again for allowing me on this program as a regular guest now.
It's a pleasure.
And I want to, and I extend greetings to the listening audience. I love you in advance, but I'm going to give you a little tough love.
All right, come on.
Press conference this morning for Alfred Wright in Sabine County, Texas, Jasper, Texas. You remember the bird, James Bird, being dragged and killed.
Yeah.
There was a young man by the name of Alfred Wright who was murdered in November. He's a cover-up from the district attorney, the medical examiner, the Texas Rangers, and now the DOJ has got involved. So this is really what we're learning, dear brothers and sisters, is that the four winds are now blowing.
Come on.
And we need to not live in denial that, in fact, this is not going to stop. It's going to only increase. And as the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said to us, there are no more good days, even for us, the Muslims. So we need to make up our minds. We need to make up our minds. We who say assalamu alaikum, we who say there's no God but Allah, Muhammad is his messenger, we need to make up our minds that separation is the answer. And stop being as it is in Second Kings. How long halt ye between the two opinions? If Satan be God, then you worship Satan. But if Allah be God, then let's go with him. And so we've got to begin to now lay that foundation. We've got to do that substructure work. We've got to begin to drive the pile drivers down so we can build the superstructure of nations. And this is the kind of thinking, this is the kind of discussion we need to have, and these are the type of actions we need to begin in teaching and training ourselves and our children that there's not going to be an existence with these folks. I was watching this morning with my barber before I went to the press conference, and I took with me to the press conference the book Without Sanctuary that has the lynchings in it.
Yeah.
And in those postcards that white folks sent out, you know, talking about how they gathered together to see these persons lynched, burned. Just like Alfred Wright, this young man that was murdered in November, they cut body parts off. That's what they did. And
that's
our
right.
lynchers, they cut our fingers off, they would cut off our private parts, ears, just to have a piece of us. And they did this to him, and then they claimed it was a drug overdose, but, you know, it's a cover-up. So the point that I want to say in kind of just closing this is it's not going to get any better. It's going to continue to get worse to make us now unite and now begin to focus on the solution. Again, before I went to the press conference, why I'm so fired up is I was watching the July 30th, 1984 appearance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan before the National Press Club. And he gave a speech, and he answered questions and answers. And fundamentally, this is 1984, at the height of the Reverend Jesse Jackson campaign. He had just been repudiated, and he didn't go hide under a rock. He stood before the world. And he told them that if we don't get freedom, justice, and equality within the social, political, and economic order of America, we got to go. We have to go. Because we're going to, increasingly, there's going to be clashes between our people. And brothers and sisters, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad closed out the book for all of America, the worst is yet to come. So
yes.
We better set our minds, frame our minds. But Lewis is a contractor. He already knows that before you pour concrete, you got to set a frame out there. And so we got to set a frame of our minds so that when we pour the concrete of the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when this concrete thought comes into our mind about what does a nation look like? How will we govern ourselves? You know, what will our transportation system be? How will we feed ourselves? How will we shelter ourselves? What will be our money? Will it be gold? What will be our means of transportation? What will be, how close will we be to the water? You know, when we fly our flags on our ships, when we build a port, you know, how's that whole thing going to be? Is Sister Ava going to be sent over? Is she going to be the ambassador to Luxembourg? No, I wouldn't send you there. but who are going to be our ambassador? Who's going to go to Venezuela? Who's going to be our ambassador to Zimbabwe? You know, we have to begin to, at least having those discussions of how a free and independent people think. And so I'll close with that point and get feedback, and then you know how we roll on Elevated Places. We take it higher and higher.
Absolutely. That is such a beautiful, beautiful platform for this discussion tonight. That we have to think, because that's what we're talking about tonight, the economic blueprint and how to take it from theory, from idea to application, to producing a model. And as you just said, we are the ones, those of us who claim to accept the truth of these teachings, we shouldn't be looking elsewhere for somebody else to come and make this happen, because that would really negate the truth and power of what we've been taught. We were told to get up and go do something for ourselves. And you remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us, if we stop thinking about white people, they will cease to exist. More than anything, their world is being held up by our thoughts. Because we're the original people, we are real, and they are an illusion.
That's right. And Dr. Ava, I just wanted to jump in here. One of the things that Brother Robert brought up that made me think is you're reading point number four, meaning mm-hmm. that I would ask the question, in the so many years, over 450 years that we have been in the hells of North America, when have we had 6 months total freedom, total justice, total
wow.
equality?
Wow.
So when people beg the difference, why do y'all want point number four, give me 6 months. Now, I ain't say 10 years, 20 years, a century. Just give me 6 months in U.S. history where the black people have been on this continent that we've had total freedom, justice, and equality. If you can give me that period of time in our history, then we won't need to go to number four. But we don't have that, so that's the justification. And I think Brother Robert brings the case when you look at without sanctuary and people, as I said, I think last week, my cousin was like, no wonder why I keep posting pictures of us back in slavery on Facebook. Brother Robert is laying out a basis that what happened in without sanctuary is currently happening today. It's not
yes.
something that was of the past. Lynchings are of today. And as of last weekend, when I went, I was doing a comedy show at the Coliseum, and at the same time they was having the ACC, and I was privy to be backstage. And backstage, I may have seen one or two black people that was credentialed with the all assets pass, but everybody was white. But when you went down to the basketball court, the majority of the players were black. And I just looked at a modern-day slavery because the slave owners was in the back eating their good food while the slaves
exactly.
was on the court making money. And, I mean, the city got rich off the ACC, where the players, of course, got nothing. Still picking cotton in 2014.
That's exactly right. And it's not going to change. Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote the minister a silly letter. I don't mind being a teaching tool and a whipping boy for the preservation
yes,
and furtherance of our nation. I wrote him a silly letter one time saying that the Muslim program was akin to our declaration, the white man's Declaration of Independence. And no sooner than I pushed send, I swear my phone rang. And that voice came on the phone and said, "Brother Robert." I said, "Yes, salam alaikum." I said, "Walaikum salam." He said, "Hold for the minister." I said, "Oh, man." The minister said, "No, brother. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the Muslim program is our constitution." And then he began to go through it. He said, "Freedom. We want freedom. Full and complete. We want a full and complete freedom. We want justice, equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed, class, or color. We want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best of civilized society."
Come on.
He said, brother, even though we're making that demand, it's not in their nature to give it to us. He
exactly.
said, "This is something we have to give to ourselves."
That's right.
See,
that's
if,
right.
If we would concentrate on, again, talking about pouring the cement, if we would concentrate on giving ourselves freedom, ourselves justice, ourselves equality of opportunity, even
right.
within the mosque structure and establishing the ministries, then you would see, as Sister Ava said, white folks just go away. Or they'd
right.
be wrapped around
exactly.
our finger. They'd be trying to help us because we would be so in love with one another, because that's the basis of love. We would be so in love with each other and so harmonious and so productive that they would see the end of welfare. They would see the no more need to print food stamps. They wouldn't see the need for all the things that take away from their so-called quality of life, because there wouldn't be any brothers or sisters that would be miscreants or involved in that kind of behavior. If we would start in the nation giving ourselves and black people, giving ourselves freedom, justice, and equality, it's not in their nature to give it to us. But he had to make the demand anyway because he needs to know what a solution looks like. But in truth, it ain't in their nature to give it to us, so we might as well look to ourselves and demand of ourselves to give these things to ourselves.
That's right.
And it's part of due process. You know, Allah...
Yes.
is a just God, and justice requires notice. And we're all on the same page, because I opened up the show talking about the fact that the messenger put this out 50 years ago. And I am sure he was not of the mindset that we're giving you all 50 years, okay, to do this. Clearly, a half century later, as you just pointed out, Brother Robert, it's not going to happen, but we have to still place them on notice. What you should do, what you owe us. So when we finally do make that move, you're going to have to step out the way. Because you were warned, you were given due notice, and there's nothing in there, as you're bringing out, there's nothing in there that suggests if you don't, we're not going to do it. We said you
right.
should do it. But we didn't say we were going to wait for you. Before we move out.
And this is where we have to begin to train our children, our young people, into the skills necessary to run a nation. In other words, we
yes.
need to understand how everything works around us, how the water system works, how the health system works, how the TV works, how the whole system works, because we can't wait 20 to 25 years until we're able to take care of ourselves. We've got to start preparing now to learn and practice taking care of ourselves, because soon we will be on our own, whether we like it or not, because we will be the majority in this country. As the Minister Farrakhan is telling us about the age and the death of white people.
Exactly.
And we're going to have to learn how to take care of ourselves. So at this point, our next 10, 15, 20 years should be really spent on studying what and how to run things and having our children prepare themselves to be able to run things so that we will feel confident that we can separate. The game they play with us with this liberal arts education is they got everybody with a briefcase, but nobody know how to open it. We don't know how
That's
to do
exactly
it.
Right.
Okay? And so we feel that we need white people. So now we need to start training our children back into skill sets that they will feel confident that they don't need anybody but self and kind.
Yeah, and we got to stop talking to them about getting an education and getting a job.
Oh.
You know, because we automatically put them into the mindset of being facilitators of the enemy's reality. And as the
right.
minister has said, the highest level the black man can reach in this world is a manager of the white man's reality. But at all
that's
times,
Obama.
This remains his reality, and that's President Obama. Let me jump to the phones, and we're going to start with Brother Lewis calling us up out of Baton Rouge, our brilliant and war. Brother Lewis is a warrior, you see.
All praise.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Lewis.
Assalamu alaikum, family. How you doing, Minister Robert? Minister
Assalamu alaikum,
Katie. How y'all doing?
All right. Wonderful, sir. Wonderful.
You know, this show here, really, in all of the cities, we really should have this show live presented, Minister Robert, in all of the cities, and let the victims of immigration come out to tell you what integration has done, because you will find that during the Time and What Must Be Done lecture series, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the concession should be open. And so what we've found here is that integration has destroyed more lives, more black lives, and more black families than slavery and segregation combined. And the greatest sin that the black man has is his silence. And Dr. King talked about that silence, and many other leaders talked about that silence, to where when things hurt us and when it's just obvious that we're completely out of order, you know, there's always somebody saying, well, don't say that. Just hush, you know, wait a while longer. Pass it on to the next generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Kings, it says in 1 Kings, the third chapter, it says that Solomon prayed for the prayer of discernment, to where he could tell good from evil. Now, we're listening to Tom Joyner earlier this week, and he has Crystal Lynn on, telling black women how they should date or have sex and marry white men. We look at the serious homosexual assault going and running rampant in our community, and they even plan to put homosexuals in all of the so-called black power organizations, according to what a SGA president told me back during the Millions More movement, that they had already brought them there to put them in black power organizations. What we really need, we need elevated places, shows like this, live all across this country. And we really need to be honest about it, Brother Robert. I wish that you would come, and those of us who really understand development and work with developers all the time, and really sit down, pick an area in a given city, and let's see if we could develop it. You got Georgia that could be a safe house. That could be a safe house where people mm-hmm. who just are sick of integration, because to be frank and honest about it, even if you get some money, they'll use the law to take your money from you through bonding
yes.
and zoning and all of these other
Mickey
Mouse
ways. Yes.
They're disagreeable to live with in peace. And so
we
fired up, and we're enjoying the show, Dr. Ava, and we can't wait to see y'all in Louisiana.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, beloved. Wow, Lakum Salam. And he's raising an excellent point with, you know, and as I was talking about later, with the constant change in methodology in response to any advance that we make. And one of the most insidious forms are the real estate taxes, the zoning ordinances, and all of the wickedness that's done on the local level. And so we should have learned I love Brother Lewis calls it victims of integration, because we should have learned now all of this, well, call everybody, tell them we made it, and I moved into the white neighborhood. This is just death. But being scattered like we are, and that's what you talk about, Dr. Rizzi, all the time, that we could have Savior's Day every day if we lived together. And we got to stop this. The Muslims, we got to quit this. We're dispersing every year
right
after the minister speaks, and we go right back into this world. Not only among the slave master's children, but also the savages among our people.
That's
why
right
are we satisfied being around savage black people?
Come on.
When a man has been in their midst and is in their midst, giving them his complete self for over half a century, not to mention prior to him, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, not to mention God himself coming in the person of Master Farrad Muhammad, raising 25,000 in 3.5 years in Detroit, Michigan. And
that's
you
right
still want to be a savage to the point where now you've become a complete sociopath, where girls are getting pregnant and having babies out of wedlock, and then as soon as the baby's born, you got another man as a boyfriend. So now you're out, and you let him babysit the 19-month-old. You know I'm talking about something that just happened. I don't do cartoons and fantasize.
Come on.
This happened. This happened this past weekend in Chicago. You know, young girl, young woman, you know, just had a baby. The baby's 19 months old. You need to deal with your child. You know, ran out here and got another boyfriend. You leave him with the child. Now, he's a savage. He's undeveloped. So he's not a spiritually advanced man, as the minister teaches about, who sees himself as a caretaker of this child in the place of the biological father, who God knows where he is. You're looking at this baby and you're enraged. I know what happened. He got enraged because he thought about the man before him that produced that child with this woman. So he beats this 19-month-old female child to death. Throws her body out in some field. Then when this woman comes home, they plot together to hide this. But what happens is, by the time they call to report the child missing, and how does a 19-month-old go missing? What does she do, drive, get the keys and drive away? So you report her missing, but lo and behold, somebody has already seen the body. And the police, everybody's already out there. So you're reporting her missing after she's been found. You think I want to live next door to somebody like that?
Come on.
This ain't just about color anymore.
That's right.
You know, and so we have a duty to Allah, to his Christ, to their vicegerent, and to ourselves to experience the level of dissatisfaction we should have being surrounded by madness.
Come on.
All right, so here we go. Going back to the phone.
I guess we're waiting
Brother
on the
Wendell
dead.
Brother Wendell?
Yes,
Assalamu
alaikum. Wow, Lake of Salam. You're calling out of California, right?
Yes, out of Lost 27.
All right. Yes, sir.
Yes.
27,
yes, sir.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying the program, and it's true. It is time for us to separate from this world and from these you got crazy, evil people that's surrounding us.
That's right.
You know, and we as black people, we just as crazy as them almost. You know, you
come
just the story about, you know, and we got to submit, or else we're gonna be chastised by a lot of God. you know. That's all I basically wanted to say.
Thank you for that comment. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Wendell. That's right. And the minister told us that. We're going to get a whipping, more whipping.
Go ahead, Doc.
No, I say it's like we're waiting on the dead to make a move or to lead us. It's those of us who are awake are going to have to be able to make a move towards each other, towards the light, and make some things happen. It's a science about what they've done to us in terms of dividing us up, splitting us up, spreading us all across the country. And so we should learn from science what they've done and scientifically figure out a way to undo it, but it's not going to happen until we sit down and develop a plan.
Amen.
And that's why I was going to say exactly what Dr. Ridgely was saying, is that when we say the economic blueprint, a blueprint is something that's laid out, a plan.
That's right.
And one of the things that I have very much so frustration is with too much inspiration with no action plan. So you have the inspired movement, and everybody gets up, and they want to move out. But I'm like, well, who's going to do what? That's why in my day-to-day job, I'm called on to work out the logistics. What are the logistical needs to do whatever you need to do to get here, point this? Because somebody has to physically do that. And I think that's where Brother Robert is at. Now, I know he's at that point where we can shout, you know, we need separation, we need separation, we need to lead this. But if you're so fired up, inspired to leave, then where's your blueprint to do it? And how many of us have donated to the economic blueprint and are pushing to fund the economic blueprint because the minister has a blueprint to help us to become free. But we don't even want to work the blueprint that's there, and the other ones don't want to sit down with those that have the skills and the training, like Brother Robert and his urban planning, to sit down and map out a strategy of how that looks. He's been on the show before and talked about the mosque should be the center of that neighborhood, but then he talks about the land and the lay of the land, which it'd be wonderful if he can give that again, you know, and Detroit was a good example because one of the places he said you need to be bordered by some water so you have access to the sea. So all of these things have to be thought out, and I think it's very clear what he said, that you have to start with the mindset of wanting to be free, and what does freedom look like, and what does that neighborhood or community look like that you're striving to become a part of.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
If I may, right on that point, you know, beloved, you know, we right now, after we've done our survey for Savior's Day, what did we like, what did we like, did you participate in this? But we should literally be planning the skeleton for Savior's Day, not the theme per se. That will come from inspiration and revelation to the minister. But we should be planning the skeleton of it, because if we were talking about building something, and I love referring to Brother Lewis, because you know something, architects a lot of times they do beautiful plans and artistic design. But, you know, engineers and project managers have to make that thing work, you know. And that's why I like working with engineers and construction people and putting on my hard hat and my steel-toed shoes and hanging out with them, because I love watching them make that thing jump from the paper to reality. And a lot of times what's on the paper is, man, this ain't going to work. And they have to do something, and it's ingenious how they do it. And we would be surprised if we tore down the sheetrock in our wall and seen some of the studs that are holding up our wall.
Woo!
You know how crooked some of them are and this and that. But you don't see it because cosmetically they put the sheetrock on and they make it all beautiful, and they tape and float the sheetrock and paint over it.
That's right.
And if you got behind them and looked at some of them studs, bro, them things is as crooked as a chicken's toe. But here's what we have to do going forward is that we have to take, see, the economic blueprint is not a thought. It's not even an idea. An idea is a well-developed thought. It's not even an idea. It's a vision. And it's a blueprint that's laid out. But what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked of us and is asking of us then, and he's asking of us now, do we have the qualified men and women for self-government? And he answered that question himself, yes. So our issue has to be that there are four things that have to be managed in order to have a successful plan. You have to have human resources managed. You have to have your financial or your budgetary resources managed, your material resources, and you've got to be a great manager of time.
Come on.
The minister laid out the time and what must be done. So this is the kind of conversation Brother Lewis said that needs to be happening, but a clarion call can be made that let's all meet up in Atlanta. Let's all meet up in Detroit. Let's all meet up in New York. Let's all meet up in Chicago, and we need these skill sets to begin. And what we do is that based upon what it is we're trying to do, we write a RFQ, a request for qualification. So if we need architects, if we need civil engineers, if we need real estate and property managers, if we need people who know electrical engineering, environmental engineering, et cetera, et cetera, so forth, we need construction people that do the subterranean work and others who do superstructure. We need all of that, and then you put out an RFQ. We are requesting your qualifications to do what it is, the scope of work that we're asking to do. So if we lock down, let's just say we lock down four or five blocks of a certain place. I'm just saying, y'all.
Yes.
And we went in and we looked at it, and some of it was had existing structures that maybe needed to be renovated, and other parts of it had vacant parcels that we could just build new and establish our own architectural pattern. Then we would say, this is the skill set that we need. Meet us at so and so and so and so, or email your qualifications, jobs that you have done, your experience, your education, and this, that, and the other. There are a lot of people in the Nation of Islam, and I'll wrap this little point up, who actually work on jobs just to feed their family. But what they really want to do and are qualified to do is something else.
Right.
So sometimes what we do, we make the mistake, we want to put somebody over the ministry that say they work at the newspaper. But they may hate working at the newspaper, but we're going to put them over the Ministry of Information, you know. But what they really have a skill set in doing is they're a classical violinist or cellist. Yeah, we should have put them over arts and culture. But see, we sometimes look at what jobs people do and then think that's what they should do in the ministry. No, brothers and sisters, we have to put out a request for qualifications. And then once we do that, then we go to the next level, which is a request for a proposal. What do you say that you could build a house on this vacant land for? What kind of house would it be, and how much would it cost you to build it? And we go through that process. Brothers and sisters, this is not rocket science. It's
That's
just
right.
science. It's just science. You know, and Dr. Ridgely's been down there on that farm, and in truth, I'm going to float this proposal out there and put it in his mind. You know, he got 1,600 acre farmland. All I need is maybe 50 to 100 acres, Doc. So we can build some farming housing so some of our young people can come down there and do missionary work and work the farm. We need some bungalows down there so they can come down during the summer or spring break and come and work the farm with you and your wife. That's not fair. They should be coming. They should go into Michigan or Detroit if we decide we want to invest in Detroit or wherever we're going to go, and they should do missionary work just like the Mormons do. Just like other people do, we should have our young people doing missionary work. Our children should be going into and helping the Salaam restaurant, for instance, by coming in the summertime and working there and learning restaurant management and culinary arts to take back to their city so we can open up Blue Seed all over the country. These are the things we got to begin to think about and talk about so we can help our executive council and the Honorable Louis Farrakhan make the economic blueprint go from an idea to a business model to an actual business. We're in the business of resurrecting people. That's a business model. We need to create that model. What's working, what's not working? Who has the best practices around the country? What's working for you in Atlanta, Brother Sharif? What's working for you, Brother Tony? What's working for you, Brother Hafiz? What are you doing good up there, Brother Ishmael in Chicago, or Brother Nuri, or whomever, wherever, Brother Patrick down in Florida, Brother Robert here in Houston? What are you doing good? let's put our best practices together and let's begin to synthesize this movement towards this separation and this liberation so that when this country collapses, which is getting ready to do, then we won't have to fall off an elevator that's on the 14th floor, and heck, our doggone superstructure is only on the second floor. We'll break our neck. At least we can bring our stuff up to the 12th floor so we only have to jump two floors off when this bad boy falls.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, he said a lot. He said a lot, and he called me out. So therefore, I'm going to say July 4th. We used to have our Founders Day, and this is usually on the Saturday, but after the July 4th day. And the July 4th is on a Friday, so we know everybody's off. So then what we're going to do, we're going to plan something for that Friday, inviting people down to sit down and do exactly what Brother Robert talked about, and that is sit down. Let's plan a plan for Muhammad Farms to, in fact, do some of those same very things that Brother Robert talked about. So I done put it out there. My mouth is on it. So that means we got to make it happen.
Right.
So that's, we're going to invite people down to Muhammad Farms and sit down and let's talk about this plan that Brother Robert talked about for Muhammad Farms.
Law work, bro.
Coming
to Georgia. I'm black, brother. I'm black.
The best
and I'm black. I'm black. I'm going
to
eat me some watermelon. Yeah.
Oh, he'll work you hard enough to eat it, too.
You're all right. You need a diuretic after you finish messing with Ridgely.
You're right about that.
We're going to get a couple more. We got a lot of callers on. So let's we're going to go to Brother Sean. And that looks like Houston or some part of Texas. Well, alaikum salam.
Oh, I'm not from Texas, Sister Ava. Assalamu alaikum. I'm from New Jersey.
Alaikum salam. New Jersey.
Well,
all right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm out of Mouth 85. And
I was
just
way
wanted
off.
To say, I wanted to definitely give you a shout out, Sister Ava, and Brother Minister Robert, and the brother that's working the farm down there. You know, because we just started our little blog talk radio. We do it on Sundays. And I want to thank you for inspiring us because I have been listening to your radio broadcast for a long time. And we got to, like the brother said, we got to really try to inspire the youth. And our goal is to inspire the young emerging leaders to come forward with their ideas, with their inspiration and everything. And like you said, when we're talking about how strong is your foundation, point number four, you know, we're talking about the time and what must be done. It started on January 12th of last year. That brings me to the unity. It's all this stuff coincides with one another. And I just wanted to just make that point to you. And brothers and sisters, keep on working, keep on striving, and let's keep it going. That's all I wanted to say.
That's
I'm
right.
Like,
well, alaikum salam, and I am so happy to hear you're out here communicating with the people because we have to continue to interact with one another because we're not accustomed. I think the reason we need so much conversation as opposed to, say, the Caucasians or other people is we were suppressed and deprived for so long of the freedom to think for ourselves. You know, the labor was the least of the suffering of slavery. The hard work, you know, as backbreaking as picking cotton for 18 hours straight is, it pales in comparison to having to spend all of your waking hours thinking for your enemy. You know, a young girl waking up in the morning and the only thing on her agenda is the mistress.
Right.
What is, you know, the mistress in her bath, the mistress in her hair, her clothes, her comfort, her breakfast, her day. You know, if you look at a movie like Gone with the Wind, you know, that's a reality for us. And not for a year or 10 years, but for 310 years. And it didn't stop, as we all talk about, with chattel slavery. And right up to this day, Brother Terrence just talked about the basketball teams. And it's not only true of the youth, NCAA, it's the NBA, the NFL. We've been run out of Major League Baseball entirely, almost. And, you know, it's the white owner. They own the team. They own the players. And
sure.
The only black faces primarily at the games are the players to what? Entertain them. It's just an advanced form of Chicken George. And so we have to really arouse our own dissatisfaction. We got to be reminded by each other that we are dissatisfied with this. Because the first thing you have to have to bring about a change is dissatisfaction.
Come on.
And like you said, communicating that dissatisfaction and a plan to overcome it. Now,
exactly.
Like you, we definitely got to have more opportunities by which we can discuss and talk. White people do it all the time. Let me tell you, they do it all the time. There's a group of white farmers down here in Georgia. Every morning they go and get coffee at this one particular place in the morning before they go out to their separate farms, just to keep communication about what's going on. And they find out what's going on before the local Farm Services Agency of the USDA. They find out before the people who were supposed to be giving the programs don't know what's going on. These farmers already know because they're communicating with each other. So we got going to have to continue programs like this and what the brother started up there in New Jersey. And I remember a couple of years ago on Elevated Places, somebody said, when is somebody going to make the call for separation? Well, we're making that call. We've been doing it over the last year. So look at how everything has come to fruition, and now it's time for us to sit down and plan and make it happen.
That's right.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And to the degree we experience any level of comfort with this man's paradigm, it's going to slow us down. And even bring us to a stop, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his success lies in the fact that, as my husband once asked me years ago, and then I spoke it from the roster, and Brother Ishmael repeats it all the time, and he said, Sister Ava, you just brought me to a halt with that. And that was, why do white people fear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so much? Because he's not arming us to fight them or attacking them physically. What makes them so afraid of him is he completely ignores them.
Come on.
I'm going to use that one. Okay.
He ignores them. And when my husband told me that, I went to the rostrum the next time I went up with that. And Brother Ishmael was at that lecture. He said, man, that's it. You know, because and because they had no place in the realm of his mind, he was free to build a world.
Mm.
See, what stops us every time is our concern over what they think about what we're doing.
That's right.
And it derails the process because it's unnatural. Allah didn't create us to care about what they think. That is what Allah calls what? Polytheism. Mm. He is the only God worthy of worship. So the only one, whenever we form an idea, the only one that we need to run it past is him.
Go ahead. And
so we're worried about what is the Jew going to say? You know, what is
Come
he...
On.
He might take my check. I might lose my job. Well, what you really lost is your salvation.
And I guess what you said about the messenger, I just read him saying that the only person who he cares about or thinks about or worries about is Master Farad Muhammad.
That's it. That's it.
That's it.
And you see that and hear that in everything that comes from him. And in the minister, that all you hear is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You don't hear nothing.
Well,
he could care less about white people. But go ahead.
We have to get a singularity of focus. Okay?
That's the point.
A singularity of focus. And it really has to come down to that. I was reading the ninth chapter of Mark. And there was a boy who was possessed with a demon,
And the Father brought him to Jesus because the disciples couldn't cast out the demons. And Jesus said, that kind has to be cast out with prayer and fasting. Okay? So is the certain, as a disciple right now, we're not casting out these demons because there's a certain place we got to go within ourselves.
Yes.
The minister has done that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has done that. They've gone into a certain place that they're able to cast out demons. They cast them out of us. So we have to go to that place. It's a
place that's
within us. It has nothing to do with what's outside of us. It's a place that's within us. And it comes from, as Sister Ava was saying, that dissatisfaction that brings about a thought that develops into an idea, and then you and I connect to the vision that God has for us of being a free and independent people. And when you start acting accordingly, you can interact with white people. It's not like you don't interact with them.
Exactly. Right. It's nothing spooky. Right.
As an equal. You interact with them as an equal. You know, hey, you got some potatoes or you got some tomatoes? I got these sweet watermelons. What you want to do? Oh, you don't?
Yeah,
okay,
what do you have
like
that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what do you have that facilitates my agenda?
There you
come
go.
On.
And if you have something, then we can do business. Other
you
than that, I'm going
agenda.
My way, you go yours.
You have to have an agenda. We had
your agenda will be formed once you line your mind with his mind.
That's
I don't
right.
say you, I should say us. See, the reason we don't keep moving forward to the details is we get distracted. There's a point. We get inspired, but we go back out in the enemy's world, and he distracts us.
That's right.
And then everything gets derailed.
You have to make
sorry,
a decision. You have to make a decision. And this is what we are afraid to do, is make a decision and then act on and stand on that decision. We are always waiting for all the alternatives to see what's going to happen instead of saying, well, listen,
there it
I
is.
Made a decision.
Right.
This is what I will do. And then we do this as the people, we'll make it happen. But we're afraid to make that commitment to a decision that we make. We've made it already,
exactly.
But we joined this. We're saluting somebody else's flag. Come on now.
That's right.
We salute the sun, moon, and star. You got to act on it now. You just can't play. So let's move out.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying, Brother Richie. That's exactly what I'm talking about, Dr. Richie, because, you know, Minister Farrakhan, Nation of Islam, is my number one client. In my urban planning consulting business, they're my number one client. I've been sitting in a meeting at the transit agency or the city of Houston or any of these, sitting down there, and my phone will ring, and I'll see it's Chicago. I don't give a damn if the mayor's in the room. I'll get up and excuse myself.
Come on.
You know? Because
that's
my number one client. I'll say, excuse me, I got to take this call. And I will step out
that's
the door
right.
of our room. You know,
that's
the kind of mindset that we have to have, that we make that turn, we make that determined turn and say, this isn't even really for us. What we're discussing right now, dear beloved, is that we're discussing about planting a tree that we're not going to be able to eat the fruit from, nor will we bask in its shade. We're going to plant something that will grow, that we won't bask in the shade and we won't eat the fruit from it, but our babies will. And that's where we got to have our mindset, to plant that
Come
tree.
On.
That's right.
That's right. Well, we're going to go back to the phones. This is great. And as always, we're running out of time.
Here we go.
And as you said, here we go. Dr. Salam.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava. And
All
Dr.
Right.
Ridgely. Brother Dr. Flight Lieutenant Terrence. And to my brother Robert. It's good to hear you, brother.
Good to hear you, Dr. Salam.
You mentioned something, Dr. Ava. The degree of change is precipitated by the degree of dissatisfaction.
Mm.
And we have to become 100% dissatisfied.
Mm.
And that's the only way this thing is going to work. But all of us have scars, and I think we put too much emphasis and cry too much and remember too much about our scars. We all wear them, but the scars only remind us of where we have been. They don't have to dictate where we're going. So what has happened is what has become tolerated becomes obligatory. So we get wrapped up in a world that is not of us. That's why separation is mandatory. This world that we're in, the condition that we're in, is really in opposition to Allah God.
Exactly.
There should be no fear in the believer's heart, because the fear is a mental prison, and it takes an individual to remove that. No teaching can remove fear from an individual. That fear has to come out of you because you see signs of miracles. And if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not a miracle, I don't want to ever see one. This man is doing something that his father taught him to do. This was a burden when he laid the key on this brother. But this brother has not faltered and outworked most of the believers in action and in motion. But I would like to end on this note. What we are doing is turning in a different direction. And the only program that's going to turn us this way in the right direction is the time and what must be done. There's no other out. There's no other avenue. And Sister Ava, you mentioned the situation about that scenario about an individual. Let me just share this with you and I'll end. We have a sister in this city whose daughter was being raped weekly, daily, hourly by a Kojic pastor. Now, I'm just going to say this. If they got a problem with me, I'm easy to find. And this man was finally arrested. And when they talked to the mother, she said, "I was praying every day and every week that he would change."
Oh, my God.
I don't know what else to say besides that. There are tears in my eyes because I think I know of this family. And we got to come out of this condition, and the only answer is separation.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr.
Salam. Brother Robert, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Salam. I'm going to go to Sister Francis so we can hear from a sister. Sister Francis.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to Elevated Places. Walaikum Salam.
I'm going to give the whole family the greeting. I wanted to say you did the scenario, and the brother just mentioned about the sister that was in the situation that she was in.
Yes.
Also, a few days ago, right here, I'm in Sacramento. It happened in Fairfield. A brother, do y'all hear me? A brother. Now, I'm trying to say this without getting emotional.
Yes, ma'am.
A black man. Now, when I say that, I don't mean a brother. I'm just saying a black man, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
That's the way I should say it. He was in the house with the wife and the baby was crying. He wanted to stop the baby from crying. He bit that baby, a two-month-old baby's nose off. He bit the baby's nose off.
Oh, my God.
Now, you know it's getting bad. That's why when all of you are saying we've got to get a program, we've got to do something, because that kind of thing now, if he was related to me or my son, I'd slit his throat. I wouldn't know what else to do. You understand?
Oh, God.
But, I mean, how can you do that to a baby? But that shows you the level of savagery that even our folks are in. That's why Islam, Master Faraj Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the people that we have now, that's the only thing that keeps you sane in this mad world. Because the world is getting madder and madder and madder. And
in front of
us. It's just crazy. And I thank you for all the information I'm getting over this phone. Because I sure will try to be at the meeting wherever y'all are. Thank you. As-salamu
alaykum. Yes, ma'am. Wow, alaykum salam, and thank you. And yes, it's becoming complete and total insanity.
Well, you know,
and again, as we're all saying, if the messenger warned us, like Brother, real quick, Lewis said earlier, Brother Lewis, integration is really more harmful than slavery and segregation combined. Because those things moved the God to save us. This is moving him to take us out. You see, right along with them. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is their major goal now, since they know they're
exactly.
out.
It is.
They integrated us with the lowest of them, the third-rate
right.
white folk, the basic savages. So we would be savage, and our own God would just throw us away.
That's right.
So we are acting like animals, but, you know, I look at a lot of shows, animal shows, and, you know, the lion. If a lion comes in and takes over a pride, and he kills all the babies of the other lion that was there. So when we become animals, these men are acting underneath an animal instinct with somebody else's child. So our sisters, we all have got to understand that we got to have some discipline, because you're dealing with a beast. And this beast will kill you and your children, in particular your children, because it's acting out an animal instinct, not a human instinct.
You know, Sister Ava, it's been a busy, busy day. I attended a meeting, if you will, an initial meeting of my brother's keeper here in Houston, called by the congresswoman here. And the president was the present Secretary of Transportation, Brother Anthony Fox, all right, the former mayor of Charlotte. So it mostly was the male preachers, the alphas, the this, the that, the other. And there were a few sisters in the room. So they talked for a while what men should do and this, that, and the other. And I stood up and I said, look, the Million Man March. We put on the Million Man March. Don't leave out the sisters. It was the sisters that put us on the bus.
They're the ones
that organized it. And then you started off, Secretary Fox, that 6 or 7 out of 10 households are headed by females. How are we going to leave the women out? A nation can rise behind these women. It's these sisters that are raising these single black male children. I said, so we have to bring the whole family together in order for this thing to be successful. But when I listen to the kind of foundations they were applying to, I don't see no place for us in that, honestly, because there was a lot of birds and steams and that kind of foundation. I said, well, ain't nothing connected with the nation going to get that. So I'm like Brother Ridgely, we just can't take no government money. We're just going to have to do what we do in cleaning up and resurrecting our people to the extent that they will. Because the wrath of God is coming down. And in the state of Texas, price of food is going up because of the drought. What happened in California, and their drought's going to drive the price of food up. There's going to be water wars in this country. This thing is getting ready to unravel. It's getting ready to unravel, and we have an obligation, those of us who know, have an obligation to at least be found working towards building that infrastructure, so that when this thing comes down, our people will have some place to land, those who want to leave with us.
Well, and that's the key right there. As we start to close down, those who want.
Right.
You know, as my husband talks about now, like he talked about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ignoring white people, he just comes at me with these very practical, down-to-earth reality points, you know. And as he's been saying to me lately, you know, y'all keep talking about Noah, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, okay. And what did Noah do? Of course, they got it's no coincidence the white man's putting Noah out. He's got all white people in it. But what Noah did was ultimately, I mean, he built and built and built, but there came a time when he got on the ark and closed the door.
He
got on the ark and closed the door. And so we better build, first and foremost, something
right.
for ourselves. We
that's
the
right.
Muslims, we better cluster and get in some little corner somewhere that's identifiable to the mother plane, okay, and to the baby planes, because he said cities, not sections of cities.
Right.
So they're not going to say, oh, well, that's Mosque 45 over there. That's Mosque number 2 over there. That's 15 over there. We ain't going to hit that. Really?
Well,
we better be somewhere dominating.
That's right.
Even if it's one or two places, if it's some
right.
farmland in Georgia on one end of the country and an urban area known as Detroit in another end, we better not only get in it, we better control it.
That's right.
That's right.
It better be dominated by Islam.
That's right.
Which means men that bite off babies' noses, men that beat one-year-olds to death, women that lay around with anything that walks by have got to be dealt with.
That's right.
Because our tolerance of this is our acceptance of it.
That's right.
And we're going to be held accountable for this kind of behavior, and we continue to live in it and just simply be appalled by it. I think that's called hypocrisy.
Well.
So I want to thank this incredible panel, and I thank the final call. I do want to make one correction on the final call article, and that is that Brother Terrence, he does a little bit more than appear often.
Oh, y'all noticed that.
he is, in fact, the co-host. He's guest obtainer, liaison, concierge, and as Dr. Salam said, flight lieutenant. All of our travel and accommodations are provided by Terrence Airlines on elevated places.
But this
is great, and I see in this photo Brother Nuri, Brother Robert, Brother Terrence, myself, Brother Ridgely is looking at us like we're all nuts.
Well,
he's got that look on his face like y'all better come down and help me with this farm, okay? Instead of all this talking. But I want to thank the Elevated Places team. I want always, Brother Student Minister Robert, oh, my God, the fabulous work you're doing. And hopefully soon we'll be able to say something on this station and the minister will be able to say something. We got something in the works. We're not just talking. It's for real. It's for real.
That's right.
And we're
right.
overcoming those obstacles up there in Motown. I want to thank the callers. I'm so sorry to those we didn't reach this evening. But call back early next Thursday so that we can get to you. Thank you all for listening and participating. And may Allah bless us with love and the light of understanding.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.